All right, in these next few videos, we're going to be looking at vision and strategy. As you're thinking about music, a lot of times people just go on autopilot. They just do music like we did it last week, or we've been in a church for years and the church just does what it does. But once in a while, it's good to stop and think, what are we really trying to do with our music program? Who are we as a church? And that's what a vision and strategy is. One question is, where do visions come from? And hopefully, visions come from God. You know, I talked about the vision that I had when I went to Florida, and God spoke to me, and He said, I am here. And then over the next few weeks, God revealed to me His vision for my life, that His concern was my walk with God, that He wanted me to walk with Him personally and with my marriage and my family, and then help other marriages and families, help them walk with God. And if that becomes a church, then so be it. So that vision was given to me by God, and I have followed that vision for the last 15 years. That has been my vision, and people sometimes fight against that, and I just put my hands up and say, what can I do? This is what God spoke to me, and this is what He said, and that's what I have to do. And it doesn't matter if it works or not. I'm not going based on, well, this works or this doesn't work. I'm just doing what God tells me. So hopefully God has given you some kind of vision. But a lot of our vision comes from our background. And some of you may have denominational background. You were raised in a denomination. Denominations have been formed largely because of geographic circumstances. People that follow Luther in Germany became Lutherans. And they were called Lutherans, even though they moved all around the world. But they came originally from Germany. Presbyterians came from Scotland. Anglicans came from England. So you can trace some of the roots of all the different denominations to geography and people groups. But certainly there's some doctrinal differences and differences in worship styles as well. And so if you're in a denomination, you might just reflect on your denomination and its style of worship and how that influences good or bad in your church. Visions come from a pastor's background and experience. I'm a very informal kind of person, so I like informal. I like informal worship. Other people are more formal. They like formality. They like things in order. And for them, they gravitate towards a more ordered worship, and they like it formal and maybe not that emotional. Others are emotional. They love the emotion. Others are afraid of the emotion. So the pastor's background is going to make a difference in the church. He tends to project his or her background on the church. The theology of soteriology, how you think someone comes to faith. Of course, we all believe that people come to faith through the Holy Spirit and what Jesus did on the cross. But God uses certain means to make that happen. And in the Reformed world, people tend to rely on education. If we educate people, teach them about the Bible, teach them about church history, teach them the doctrines, and so the more that people know, the more God uses that to help bring them to Himself. So the service is filled with a lot of educational things, educational type songs that teach, that have really good words, and so maybe the emotion isn't there. In Baptist denominations, it's all about leading someone to a commitment. And so the service is sort of designed that way, that the songs and the message and everything sort of leads up to that time where someone gives their life to Christ. And so that affects what the worship is like. Pentecostal charismatic churches, they want to see the evidence of the Holy Spirit in terms of certain gifts. And so the whole service is sort of centered around that, and it's enthusiastic type singing. And And the worship has that character, and it influences, and maybe you come from that background. Or maybe you come from a liturgical style, the Lutheran or Methodist church, and doing things in order and having a good order is what's important. So check your theology of soteriology. Number five, the congregational tastes and the background of the congregation. What's the history? They have a history of singing out of this hymnal or that hymnal, or they had a supplemental hymnal, or they had some loose pages in the pew and they sang off of those, or there's certain songs that they sing. If you go to the Appalachia region of the United States, a lot of the holler churches, their hymnals will be filled with songs about the resurrection and about heaven. I mean, almost 90% of the hymnal is about that because their life is hard and they're looking for something better. So your vision can come out of your background, and that's a good place to look. Well, what is a vision statement? It's a written down version of the general purpose of the church. At my church, we're called Pathway Church, and this is our little vision statement. Pathway Church, on the path to a Jesus way by focusing on God. Walking with Him, focusing on each other, supporting each other's walk with God, and finally the world, sharing our walk with God with others. The truth is, every church's vision statement makes a reference to these three things. There's something about God, of course. You know, we're a church. We want to connect and relate to God. And there's something about His people. We're the church. We're His people. So we have to say something about that. And then there are those who are not yet following Him. Something about outreach and evangelism. So really, all churches have these three things. The strategy statement is where churches differ. We all have the same vision, but we don't all have the same vision or strategy of how to make the vision happen in our own place. So what is a strategy statement? Though most churches' vision statements are quite similar, churches' strategy on how to fulfill the vision can be quite different. A strategy statement is a written down version of a time and place sensitive outline of a particular way your church is going to implement your church's vision based on your gifts and your experiences, the needs and opportunities of the community you hope to plant your church, and the unique ideas that God, through His Spirit, has led and put on your heart. Try to answer the key questions in these five categories. I think it's good. We ultimately want to start thinking about the vision for music. But the vision of music has to fit into the vision of your church. So these are the key things for a vision of the church: discipleship, outreach, education, faith formation, and finally worship. So just briefly, discipleship. Some questions to think about. How are you discipled, and what effect do you think that will have on your strategy of discipleship? So if you were raised in the church your whole life, then you know how to do that. But how do you help someone that was not raised in the church? How will your church help people, individuals, walk with God every day? Who will disciple the new believers, and how will they do it? Is it the pastor's job? Is it the small group leader's job? Is it the one who brings the new person? Outreach and evangelism. How were you reached, and what effect do you think that will have on your strategy to reach others? People tend to reach people like they were reached. So if you were born in it, then you don't know how to reach anybody because you were born into it. If you are reached because of a Billy Graham crusade, then you're always trying to get people to go to a Billy Graham crusade. If you were reached because someone shared the gospel with you personally, then that's what you think works, and that's what you'll be motivated to do, and you'll try to get everyone to do. So you really have to take an assessment of how people were reached in your church in order to sort of figure this one out. Who do you think will be doing most of the outreach? Rank and order those that you think will do the most. Each member, are the members going to do the outreach? Is it the pastor, or is it married couples? Is it the programs of the church? Is it the worship service? Is it advertising? What do you think is going to reach the most people? What role will hospitality play in your strategy? And where will that take place? Will the hospitality be in homes? Will you encourage people, hey, have people over to your home? Will it be stuff and activities that you have at the church? What will the relationship between needs-based ministries and evangelism be? One strategy people use to reach people is to do nice things. You know, help people with their lawns, give them money, feed them, give them food. Or is it, you know, like teaching your people how to actually share their faith, and they do that at the workplace? You know, what are the relationships between those two? Education. How will the church help parents teach their children the faith? How will you give just-in-time education in the following areas? Bible knowledge, you know. If you have a school-based method, you can teach kids at each grade level, but what happens when a new person joins your church and they're 13 years old and they didn't have the first 5 years? How are they going to make up for that? Doctrine, how are they going to learn the doctrine? Church history, music, singing, the words, evangelism, all these things. And in fact, that's in a way what CLI is about. It's about helping people catch up. You know, if you're born into a church over 10, 15, 20 years, 30, 40 years, you learn a bunch of stuff. But a new person joins your church that's never gone to church, where would they start? Who's going to teach them all these things? Hospitality. Education, continuing on. What strategy will be your main delivery system for your church education? Rank and order your preference here. You could use Sunday morning worship service. You know, every sermon is the educational opportunity, and the pastor is going to teach everyone everything on Sunday morning. Or educational classes. You're going to have classes. But classes are difficult. You know, you have a class on marriage, and it lasted 8 weeks. And then 2 weeks later, someone comes to your church and their marriage is a disaster. And you say to them, well, man, I wish you had come a little earlier. We had just had a class on marriage. You know, 2 years, we'll have another one. So education is hard in church. Or are you going to do it through small groups so that they can each decide what they want to teach and what they want to do? Is it going to be age-based groups? You know, Sunday school, youth group, couples, that kind of thing? Or is it going to be family-based? You know, you're going to have families study something together. Is it going to be one-on-one discipleship opportunities, more of a mentor program? You get mentored by somebody, and they try to teach you what it is that you need to know. So these are all different strategies with education. Number four, faith formation. Faith formation is how we grow in our faith over the years. How will you help parents form their child's faith through baptism, for example? In our church, we try to make a big deal about baptism. We talk to the parents. They have to go to a little class. They have to pick out a verse. They have to explain why they named their child, what they named, and relate that somehow to God. So there's this little ceremony that people do, and it's sort of like a big deal. Then how will you help parents give their child their first Bible? We have this thing called First Bible. And again, parents have to come to a class, and they have to learn why this is important. And then they have to go out and get a Bible for their child, and they have to find verses in it and get grandma and grandpa to put down their favorite verse. And then we have the parents present this Bible in a worship service, and they have to read, you know, their dedication, their blessing that they put inside this Bible for their child, so that their child, this business of getting your first Bible and starting to read your first Bible at a young age is a big deal. We want to emphasize that. This is a stepping stone in your faith formation. How will you help parents celebrate their child's coming of age? You know, 12, 13, 14, kids go through puberty, and we want to mark that time. They're like becoming young men and young women, and so we do kind of a bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah for the girls, where we have the parents invite adults that know their child, and they have like this time together. You know, there's food and so on, but then they have this time where each of the adults comes up and says what they see in that child. This is what I see in you. I've been observing you all these years, and this is what I see. And then they give them a little gift that sort of keys in on what they just said to them. How will you help celebrate faith formation multiple times in your people's faith development? So, you know, they join the church or they get married. All these are just little stepping stones in the faith formation of a person. And how, as a church, do you recognize those things and make sure that they happen? Finally, we get to the worship. That's what the class is about. How do we begin to think of our strategy for worship? What kind of music? Here's some questions that you have to think about. What kind of music will accomplish your vision? Is it contemporary music? Is it the hymns? Is it gospel music? Is it international music? Some churches like to get a little bit of music from all over the world. Is it spirit-filled, more charismatic kind of worship? Is it scripture songs? In our church, you know, I mentioned we write scripture songs. So what stream of music? We're going to have a whole session on this particular topic. Rank in order who your music is for. So, now, okay, you do this music in your worship service, but who's your target? Is it God? I mean, certainly we give our praise to God. Is your music uplifting and given to God? Believers, what about your music is for them? Seekers, people that are coming to your church, they're not yet believers. You know, that's difficult. You sing these songs, and sometimes the songs can be very... some songs are... Maybe they're just not even appropriate. Someone once said to me, if you can substitute your wife's name for God in a song and it becomes a love song, then maybe it's not appropriate in church. But you have a seeker. He's a guy. He's a construction worker. He comes to church, and all of a sudden you're singing this song about, you know, Jesus holding you in his arms and lifting you up like a child. I mean, you know, when you're feeling vulnerable and you sing a song like that, I can see where you'd feel that way. But this is a new person, and they're like, okay, who's God? I don't know if I want anybody holding me. Or words like, Jesus is the Lamb of God. Okay, why who's Jesus, number one? I've heard of God, and what's a lamb got to do with any of it? So, you know, how much of your music is for the new person coming in? Do you say anything to them? Like, we're going to sing a bunch of songs, and some of them you're not going to understand at all. You know, just listen, whatever. But you have to think about that. Children, how much, you know, you have kids there, 5-year-olds, 10-year-olds. Do the songs relate to them? Are any of them, songs that they can enjoy? You have teens. Do the songs fit them? You got the older generation. What kind of music fits these different groups that you have coming to your church? New to your church, they don't know the songs that you know, and so what do they do? Old to your church, they have some old songs, and then the new people don't know the old songs. You know, so you have to start asking these questions, and what are we going to try to do as a church? Where will your music be offered? Is your worship just for the worship service, Sunday service? Or is it for your educational classes? We sing in our education things. We sing in our small groups. We sing in our youth groups. We sing in our home. We sing in our car. And the goal of our music program is to help people worship God and sing songs everywhere. Or not. Or is it just Sunday morning? So what is your program trying to do? Work, all these different places. Okay, who will lead your music? That's a question you have to figure out. It's part of your strategy. It's a free-for-all. That's one way to go. It's like whoever wants to be on the worship team can. It's a volunteer system. You like to sing? Okay, come on board. It's not about whether you're talented or not. It's about participation. And I've heard people say that. Look, the more people we get participating, the better for the church. That's one strategy. Another is an elite group. These are the best of the best, and we only have that group, and they sound good, and they practice, and they're really talented, and that's our strategy. The other is what I'm going to be promoting, and we're going to be looking at the next two sessions, but a farm team. A farm team is where you try to find a level for music, for people to engage in music at a level that fits them. So there's people that are really good and they have a place to play. There are people that are just beginning and they have a place to play. And there are people that are learning. And so you have a spot, a level. It's like sports. When you play soccer, you start off with the little kids and then you advance to this. And then there's the city team. And then there's the school team. And then there's, you know, all these different, you know, clubs and what have you that you can play at. And they're all based on a certain level, whatever level you're at. And you go as far as your talents and your gifts and experience will take you. What do you want to accomplish with the music program? What are your goals? I mean, what are you trying to make happen? As the music director, you're trying to make something happen. What is it? To inspire people to sing enthusiastically, maybe. You know, so that's your goal. Ultimately, when you evaluate your music program, are the people singing? You know, maybe our singer is really talented and our drummer is great and our guitar player is awesome but no one's singing. So what's your goal? To just have great music or to have people sing? Or is it to teach people how to sing? You know, we're not just going to have our worship service. We're going to actually teach people how to sing parts and how to play an instrument. To inspire people to worship, not just here at church, but everywhere in their life. To teach people to sing parts, okay? To get families singing in their homes, in their car, or on vacation. To communicate the truth of God's word in a powerful, emotional, and memorable format. To inspire and teach members how to play and use an instrument. I mean, is that a goal or not? Where it's like, no, we don't have time for that. To reach people through music, evangelistically, do we see a purpose for music, and how are we going to do that? How are we going to use music as a way to reach new people in our community? What kinds of music do your members listen to? This might be part of how you figure out your vision. Do they listen to just the Sunday services? Do they listen to country music on the radio, or Christian old music, or Christian new? Do they listen to classical? Do they listen to rock and roll? Do they listen to R&B? Do they listen to the blues, folk music, hip-hop? You know, make an assessment of, well, what kinds of music do our people listen to all week? What music does each age group listen to? That's another way of attacking it. There's kids. What music are the kids into these days? The youth, the young marrieds. What music are they listening to? The middle-aged, the retired people. You know, what is each group listening to, and how does that relate to the music that we use? Remember, music is just a language. And you learn the language that you're exposed to. I mean, I grew up learning English. I didn't work at it. I didn't decide, oh, I think I'll learn English. It just was around me, and that's what I learned. And that's what music is like, too. You just pick up what's around you. So you had different people, different age groups, and so on. What kind of music, what language of music have they learned, and how does that relate to your church music? What will be the style of your worship? Will it be formal, informal? Will it be participatory, or is it sort of a professional thing? People come and they basically listen to the professionals do it. I mean, that for many centuries, that's what church music was. The people came to the church, but it was the choir and so on that did all the singing. Who, after God, will the service be focused on? Is this worship time mainly to help believers worship? Or is it mainly for seekers? Or is it for teens, families, children, intellectuals, the art-type people, the charismatic people, the average person, the new person? It's like, okay, we have these songs. Who is it for? What purpose will this service serve? Is it, you know, primarily we're trying to educate, we're going to choose songs that educate, we're choosing songs that inspire, or songs that enable people to lift their hands up or create a sense of community or a sense of hospitality? Is it music that reinforces practices in your home so that, you know, we have assignments where we sing songs at home and then we sing them in church and then we go back home and work on it? We did that for a while with learning the parts. We had people practice a part, and then we divide on Sunday. We actually divided the church into the sopranos sit over here. The altos sit over here, the tenors sit over there, the basses sit over there, and then we just did it. We did the worship service, and that's how we sort of reinforced what they were trying to learn. Here's some mentor questions. If you have a mentor, these are the questions that you need to go over with your mentor to try to figure out your music vision and strategy. What is the purpose of your music program? That's really a question you have to get at. What do you want to accomplish with your music program? Who do you want to try to reach? How does your music strategy fit in with the general strategy of your church? I mean, if your general strategy is we really want to build up the body of Christ, then how does your music do that? If your general strategy is how do we reach people? We're going to double our church. We're going to plant two churches out of our church. Okay, but then how does your music fit in? How does the music help in accomplishing that? Who can help you make this strategy a reality? So you're the worship leader, but who can help you figure this out? Instead of you just sitting down and trying to figure out this whole strategy, who can you talk to? Your team, your pastor. This is a kind of thing that you do together, or even other churches that you admire. Try to find out from other people what kinds of things that you can do. Now, I've had you read the little book that I wrote, The Secret to a Great Music Ministry, and in the beginning chapters there's a story of a girl that's trying to find a church, and she visits three different churches. And I hope you read that and remember that. The first kind of church she visits is this church that is older, and everyone that's going was born into it, so they all know the songs, there's nothing new there, and she has no idea how to catch up. And no one knows how to help her catch up because they were all born there. So there's churches like that. So that's one kind of strategy. Hey, if you weren't born here, I don't know, good luck. Just do your best and hopefully you catch up. The second kind of church she went to is a contemporary church that's really trying to get seekers, and seekers don't know the music, so they don't sing very many songs, and they try to help people feel comfortable, but there isn't much there for the believers. And finally, the third church that she visits is a church that is trying to do all of those things, trying to be friendly, trying to be open, trying to help new people. Look, I know you're new, you're not going to know these things, but here's how we can help you. And they're trying to actually worship God and have something for the believers. And it's this third kind of style that we're going to be looking at over the next two sessions.